Jersey, the Supreme Court of the State of South Dakota, the Honorable David Gilbertson presiding, is now in session for the use of business of the court.
First case for oral argument this morning is John Elsing et al. Versus Jerry Krambeck et al. For the appellants, Mr. Reed Richards, and for the appellees, we have Mr. Lester Neese, who will speak for 15 minutes, is that correct?
That's right, Your Honor.
And then Mr. Bruce Outke will speak for 5 minutes. What about, I don't see, he had a rebuttal, I guess that's, figure out who's on first here. All right, Mr. Richards, you may proceed, sir.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. The facts of this case arise out of Exit 17, which is an exit off Interstate 90, about 5 miles east of Spearfish. It's an exit that mainly goes to the city of Deadwood. It goes into a valley called Centennial Valley. The Exit 17 is surrounded mainly by Frawley Ranches incorporated land. Frawley Ranches has been owned by the Frawley family, and in about 1998, majority interest was purchased by a Darrell Propp, who is a Denver developer. Mr. Propp has been attempting to develop this area in about a 1,000-acre development. Since that time, it's been a quite controversial matter. There have been several lawsuits filed and several referendum elections in Lawrence County over the matter. The last referendum election was in June of 2001, where the Lawrence County approval for the development was overturned by the people. In addition, they initiated an ordinance stating that there'd be no changes of zoning in this area and other areas of Centennial Valley for a period of 6 years. About 2 months after that election, a petition for voluntary annexation was filed with Lawrence County and the city of Spearfish. This petition involved about 2,000 acres of land to the east and adjacent to the city of Spearfish boundaries. Included in this proposed annex land was 440 acres comprising of Lawrence County Airport and then about 1,550 acres of privately owned land. Four landowners involved in that, one of whom is Mr. Essling, one of the appellants in this matter. Of the privately owned property...
So I might take it that the 400 and, did you say 440 acres, that's the acreage that's in dispute in this case, or is it the entire 2,000 acre annexation that's in dispute?
The entire annexation.
All right.
Of that privately owned property, Mr. Essling's portion of that is 797 acres. And of the privately owned property, he owns 38% of the land, percentage-wise, and 30.5% of the assessed value of the privately owned land. In this privately owned land, which is all agriculturally zoned under Lawrence County, or was under a Lawrence County Planning and Zoning, there are only three residential houses, only one of which was occupied or as a regular basis, one mobile home and one bed and breakfast business. The rest is devoted to agricultural uses. This is a certiorari action under 2131.8 to see or test whether the city and the county regularly pursued its authority in granting this annexation. There are three main issues that we'd like to discuss with the court today. First issue, the city and county, we're stating that the city and county exceeded their authority in accepting the values used in the voluntary annexation petition. Secondly, we're stating that the city exceeded its authority since the annexed area is not contiguous to the city of Spearfish as defined by this court in various cases. And third, that the change of zoning in the annexed area is contrary to the initiated ordinance adopted by the people of Lawrence County in the June 2001 election. First of all, we'd like to discuss whether or not the airport, which is owned by Lawrence County, should have been included in this annexation effort. Now, the statute that's involved in all this annexation dispute is 9-4-1, which governs the voluntary annexation of property in Lawrence County or in the state of South Dakota. And the key language on that is that the petition must be signed, in this case, the key language is the petition must be signed by owners of not less than 3/4 of the value of the territory sought to be annexed by the municipality. Now, the definition of value of the territory is not defined in the statute anywhere. So we look to see what the petitioners did, and what they did in their petition was to value the private property, Essling and the other three landowners, on the basis of the assessed valuation. But since that would not grant them the necessary amount of value to make this a voluntary petition work, since Essling had more than 25% of the value of the land, and by this statute could therefore defeat it, then they looked around and they said, well, let's put in the Lawrence County Airport. Now, the airport was not necessary for contiguity. The statute says any land owned by the county would be considered contiguous and would not have to be annexed. So the reason they put in the airport was to add value. But there's a problem there because the airport is not assessed. So how do they come up with that?
Well, it still has value.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
It still has value. The state capitol building has value. I mean, it's not assessed.
True. But see, the statute is 3/4 of the value of the territory. So how do you arrive at the value of the territory?
Shouldn't you just use any measure that describes reasonable value? Whether it's assessment or insurance valuation or the income approach or the market approach, anything that's a reasonable estimation of value, it would seem to me could fit within the parameters of this statute.
Well, very respectfully, Your Honor, I would suggest that the legislature in passing this statute, and it was first passed in 1887, did not contemplate a battle of valuations or appraisers in a voluntary annexation approach. I would suggest that they were thinking at that time of the assessed valuation, and they were thinking not of government land.
Well, Mr. Richards, when I was city attorney in Sisseton many years ago, the city of Sisseton annexed a tribal housing authority owned by the United States of America. 100% of that annexation was publicly owned. Are you saying that you cannot do an annexation like that where the property is owned by the public and has no assessed value?
I'm saying, Your Honor, that under this statute and this set of facts, that the Lawrence County Airport should not be a factor in determining whether or not the voluntary annexation petition meets the requirements of the statute. We submit to the court that this statute was written and the words used basically to protect owners like Essling, who did not want to be voluntarily annexed into the city.
Well, I mean, you've got publicly owned property all over the place. I assume a lot of cities, maybe half of the property around the town might be publicly owned in some instances. And under your theory, if that can't be included, it's going to just shut down the annexation procedures if somebody wishes to challenge it.
Well, no, Your Honor, maybe I'm not making the distinction. In a voluntary annexation, I'm saying,
right,
they should know. If the city wants to annex through its normal annexation procedure, certainly they can annex public property or whatever.
But your client is challenging this so-called voluntary procedure.
Yes, right? Because he had, without the airport, he had 30.5% of the value, the assessed value of that land. He did not want to be annexed, and the city, by virtue of adding in the valuations of the airport, forced him into this annexation. We don't believe that is correct. Now, there's a case we cite in our brief of the City of Denver versus Holmes, where the issue of whether the public property owned by the City of Denver should be included in an annexation, voluntary annexation effort there. And the Supreme Court of Colorado stated that really it should not be involved in the annexation effort, that the statute, somewhat similar to our statute, basically was focused on and looking at the private landowner who would have to be paying the taxes and suffering the consequences of annexation. And therefore, they said it was proper to exclude from consideration, and that the annexation effort should not consider any of the streets and other publicly owned land within the proposed annexed area down there. Now, if we do end up with a double valuation here, I mean, where we can take the private hangar or the hangar and the private appraisal of it in the Lawrence County Airport and add that value to the valuation of the assessed valuation, then we're basically setting up a constitutional question procedurally in this matter. And that is, we're using Mr. Essling's, we're using one standard against Mr. Essling's property, the assessed valuation, and yet we're using a different standard, a private appraisal standard, for the airport.
But hasn't that been cured by the legislative directive that for assessment purposes, they're to be assessed at 100% of value?
The 100% of the value of the property, but there's no assessment 100% or otherwise of the Lawrence County Airport. This is not a government assessment. This is not done by the Equalization Office. It's the insurance appraiser who says, well, the replacement value on this hangar is $950,000. So we have a really an apples and oranges approach to this, which is not fair to Mr. Essling. If you're going to appraise the property, it should be on the same standard as his property is appraised. Now,
saying the county should have sent the assessor out to do the airport rather than hiring a private professional appraiser.
I'm saying under this statute, as it's written right now, I don't think the county property should be assessed at all. It should not be considered. It's just the private property should be considered. There are some cases that we've cited in our brief where the legislature in those states, California, I believe, has specifically said that the public property may be considered and how it can be considered and what values be put on it. But short of there being a legislative mandate including public property in annexation effort, I think we're left with the statute 9-4-1 and as it reads, and it reads about the value of the property.
Now, so what you're saying is even if we use the same appraiser for both public and private property, it's not going to cure what you see to be the error and that the public property can't be considered under any circumstances the way the statute's written?
The way the statute's written right now.
Okay.
Yes.
You're saying it should be treated just like a public dedicated street, which is never considered for evaluation purposes.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. Unless the legislature in its wisdom deems that this should be a part of and parcel of the annexation process.
So you're not saying that public property can't be annexed, which it can. I mean, the airport can obviously be annexed, but it shouldn't be considered for value purposes in this type of an annexation.
Right. The legislature, in writing this voluntary annexation statute, was considering the private landowner and the rights of the private landowner when it put in that if you had 25% or more of the value of the territory involved, you could, in effect, veto a voluntary annexation petition.
Well, how would a public entity that wants to be voluntarily annexed then come or fit within the statute? You're telling us that they couldn't?
No, the airport started
a school is on the edge of town.
Yeah.
And they want to be annexed, and that's just that particular piece of property. They would not be able to petition for voluntary annexation under your interpretation of the statute.
The petition, they could under several instances. First of all, for instance, in this case, the airport is contiguous to the boundaries of the city of Spearfish. And they could just petition that the airport land be brought in, the airport could petition, and it could be done that way. Or if there was some intervening land between the property, and that intervening land said, sure, we don't mind being annexed, and you can voluntarily annex the intervening land and the airport. But where you've got private property, now the Essling property, I should add, you've got City of Spearfish, you've got the airport, then you've got the Essling property, couple other piece of property, and then the prop property out at exit the 17. So the airport land is not necessary for annexation in terms of getting to exit 17. It is considered by statute to be contiguous. So they've got to have the Essling property because they can't get to the prop property without getting the Essling property. And Essling's saying, hey, I don't want to be annexed. And they're just using the airport property for valuation to force Essling into this voluntary annexation. And they're using two different standards. Now, if they were to use, let's say for some reason it was clear that we could go ahead and use a regular standard for valuation. A private appraiser comes out and looks at all the property, including the airport property. And let's say they put a $2,000 per acre value on all of the real estate involved. Essling would still come out being more than 25% of the value of the land involved. So if you use the same standard, Essling still cannot be forced into this annexation. But when you use a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we'll use a private appraisal here, and we'll use the assessed valuation over here. That's not fair. It's not constitutional. Now, we also have the issue of contiguity. And as this court has decided in several cases, contiguity is more than just physical touching of the property. In various cases, it said that it must be a natural and reasonable annexation, as stated in the Big Sioux Township versus Streeter, cited in page 17 of our brief. This court has said that it requires that there be a community of interest of the annexed property to the city that's annexing. The court says it should not be gerrymandered, that it should end up with a homogeneous, unified entity. Homogeneous, unified entity. None of these qualifiers apply in this case. As I indicated earlier, the ag property, this is all ag property, only three houses, one occupied, only one small business. The only reason, really, that the city of Spearfish is interested in this is to increase its tax base and to get the sales tax off of the prop development at Exit 17. As this court has said in Smith versus Rapid City, 1981, the limits of a municipal corporation should not be extended for the sole purpose of increasing the municipal tax base. That's exactly what City of Spearfish is doing here. And as the court would note in looking at the annexation map, to the north and the east of the airport are between 100 and 125 homes, residences, that have been there since 1960 and thereabouts. Now, there is those houses could logically be annexed. They need city services and so forth. But what did the city do in this voluntary annexation? It excluded those, completely around that, because it was just heading for Exit 17. It didn't want to provide services to these houses. It didn't want to annex what logically it should annex. It just wanted to get to Exit 17 for the tax base. And of course, Prop didn't care about these other houses in here. He just wants to get the city to annex him so he can do his 1,000-acre development.
Are those the ones that show up on Exhibit A, which is attached to your brief?
That is correct. Yeah.
They're platted out, and there is a subdivision in there?
Yes, this is a subdivision, kind of, they call it the airport subdivision.
Thank you.
But that is exactly what this court said in Big Sioux Township versus Streeter happening. That was gerrymandering of the boundaries, and this court said that is not appropriate. It does not constitute contiguously as necessary under the statute. Finally, Your Honor, the third issue, and just briefly touch on it, is the fact that there was an initiated ordinance that there would be no change of zoning in this area, Exit 17, for a period of 6 years. As soon as Spearfish annexed this area, and at the same time, they did change the zoning in that, in violation of the initiated ordinance adopted by the city of, or by the Lawrence County voters.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. We'll hear from you in a few minutes again. Mr. Alka, I understand you're going first for 5 minutes. Okay, you may proceed then.
May it please the court. May it please the court. Lawrence County's argument will necessarily be brief and succinct, as the county believes that there are really no existing issues with respect to the county. In their brief, appellants assert that Lawrence County, quote, exceeded its jurisdiction in signing and approving the voluntary annexation. The trial court, in its findings of fact and conclusions of law, conclusion of law number two, found that the Lawrence County Commission had the right as a body politic to sign the petition to voluntarily annex the Lawrence County Airport within the corporate limits of the city of Spearfish and acted within its jurisdiction in signing the petition. In conclusion of law number three, the court concluded that pursuant to SDCL 945, the Lawrence County Commission was vested with the authority to approve the annexation of unplatted lands within the territory to be annexed by the city of Spearfish. The Lawrence County Commission acted within its jurisdiction in approving the annexation of unplatted lands located within the territory to be annexed by the city of Spearfish. I think it is significant to note that the trial court found that the appellants themselves had acknowledged that the Lawrence County Commission had acted within its jurisdiction in undertaking these two actions. I'm going to quote from appellant's own brief. It is applicant's response to motions of respondents on writ of certiorari. There, the appellant state, quote, there is no question in the present case that the Lawrence County Commissioners had the authority to sign the proposed annexation petition and secondly, approve of the annexation. SDCL 7820 sub 7 and subsection 13, SDCL 945, SDCL 5072 and 5713 expressly gives the county authority to do so. And despite this acknowledgement, appellants persist here in their efforts to bootstrap, I believe, Lawrence County into these proceedings. Yet appellants cite no new authority or argument countering their earlier acknowledgement of no improprieties or no action in excess of jurisdiction by Lawrence County. Lawrence County's actions in this matter were limited to signing the petition for inclusion of its property in the voluntary annexation petition, and second, approving the unplatted lands insofar as they related to the territory to be annexed. And that covers 941 and 945. The county was not involved in arriving at the values of the properties. The county was not involved in determining the area to be annexed. Again, the county's involvement was limited to signing the petition and approving the unplatted lands in the annexed area. So I think when examined with particularity, it is clear that appellant's claims against Lawrence County are in reality non-existent. And this is, again, by appellant's own admission. And it seems as though appellants would have this court overturn the trial court's holdings for reasons other than those based upon the law or upon facts. As I promised, I was going to be brief. I will conclude here quickly and simply ask the court to affirm the trial court's holdings as they respect Lawrence County. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Outkin.
Thank you.
No one has ever chastised here for quitting early. Okay, Mr. Neese, you have 15 minutes, sir.
My timer says 10, Your Honor.
Supposed to be 15, clerk. How about that?
Very good.
All right, you may proceed, counsel.
May it please the court. My name is Lester Neese. I'm here representing the mayor of Spearfish and city council of Spearfish. I trust our brief has been read, and I don't wish to repeat all of the arguments that we've made in there and the several citations, together with the distinctions that we've drawn with the cases that the appellants have cited, most of which are completely distinguishable from SDCL 941, in that most of, and I won't go into all the detail, but most of those are protest statute type of cases. SDCL 941 is a voluntary petition annexation. It is not where the city goes out and grabs territory under SDCL 9-4 or 9441.1, etc.
Well, it seems somewhat involuntary, doesn't it, at least in relation to Mr. Essling?
I understand how Mr. Essling can feel that he's being brought along against his own desire, but that's what the statute provides for. It doesn't say 100% of the value. It says 3/4 of the value. And it's there that the trial court said in its first memorandum opinion that whether 25% or less of the value of the territory being annexed does not wish to be annexed is of no import.
Well, why should an entity that is not a taxpayer have a voice in this particular case, the determining voice, in whether or not this annexation is going to proceed?
Because, Your Honor, that non-taxpaying entity is a landowner. SDCL 941 says owner. The appellants, as you just heard, admitted that Lawrence County, as an owner of land, has the right to petition that property into the city of Spearfish.
So if the public property constitutes over 75%, they basically have a lock on the so-called voluntary procedure, and anybody that's a private property owner in the 25% or less has just been involuntarily annexed, right?
It would depend, Your Honor, on who signs the petition and what the configuration of the property is.
Yeah.
The situation we have to remember here is this petition was presented to the city of Spearfish by the landowners. The city of Spearfish did not go out and request the landowners to sign. This was not one of those kind of annexations.
Would that make a difference?
What's that?
If the city of Spearfish had done that, would that make a difference?
I don't believe so. I mean, the city of Spearfish cannot force an individual to sign an annexation petition. That's a voluntary act on their part. And if you look at the petition, there's 18 signatures on there. 18 signatures, including Lawrence County, of the landowners who desire to be petitioned into and annexed into the city of Spearfish. And the face of the petition gives the reasoning why they signed the petition. In fact, it even states why the county of Lawrence signed the petition to have their airport brought in, as opposed to all of the machinations that you see in the appellant's brief, at no basis in fact. If the record on cert is what was before the city council. This is the record, and you have it, is what was before the city council. All of the information that you've heard
and you've seen in the reply brief and the brief of the appellant, is not taken from the record. I don't know where it comes from, but it's not taken from the record. The record substantiates why the city of Spearfish approved the petition. We were presented with a petition. Our obligation, does it contain the signatures of three-fourths of the registered voters? Yes. Does it contain the signatures of three-fourths of the owners of the territory sought to be annexed? We had to do some study. We used the most available information. That's the assessed valuation, which the court has already stated is the full and true value of the property, according to statute. And we've briefed that.
Well, if you don't use the value, if the dedicated streets are collapsed and just kind of ruled out of existence for this purposes, why would you use the purpose of non-assessed, non-taxpayer land for the purposes of determining that factor?
Your Honor, the city used the replacement value of the public hangar according to the insurance contract in Lawrence County.
Why would you use that? Why would you be involved with that at all if that property is not subject to taxation, that property is not assessed for taxation purposes, they pay no taxes on it, and you're collapsing the dedicated streets, you're not counting them, why aren't they treated the same?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not sure about the dedicated streets. That's not in SDCL 941. And the reason the city valued the airport...
You don't have assessed value on dedicated streets, do you?
Not that I know of, Your Honor, but I think we have a problem here in the fact that this is not a taxation statute. SDCL 941 never says the word assessed value. It never says the word tax. It says value. It says value. And we've briefed what value means. In the plain, ordinary meaning of the word, it's exchange in money or money's worth. It never says anything about whether anybody pays taxes. And by the way, Your Honor, in the Holmes case that you just heard the appellants talk about, if you read the case, the statute there defines landowner as, one, an owner in fee, two, someone subject to payment of taxes. So under the Colorado scheme, a public entity couldn't sign a petition anyway. Besides that, that case cannot stand for anything here, because there, the city and county of Denver were using their public streets and sidewalks in opposition to an annexation. And by the way, that was not a value statute, that was an area statute. It says 50% of the area, not value. Here we have a county organization who wants to come into the city. So the county's a landowner, according to 941. The county airport has value, and the city says, what's the value of a non-assessed piece of property? What's the best evidence of value that we can find? And we stopped at one value, and that's the value of the publicly owned airport, which its insurable replacement value is $950,000. That got us way over 75%, got us up into the mid-80s, and we stopped. We didn't value anything else on the airport, not the land, not the runways, not anything else. The trial court disagreed with us on including the privately owned hangars. And that's not part of this appeal, but I'm just bringing that out. We had included the value of the privately owned hangars because they are assessed as real property, and it's right on the assessment roll. But taking those out and just including the value, the replacement value of the publicly owned hangar on the airport, not anything else, that put us over the 75%, and we stopped. We felt we had done what the statute required. We had a landowner, and we had assessed the valuation, not the tax valuation, but the value. And so I would urge the court to really consider, are we talking about taxable value, or are we talking about value? And it would seem very, very clear to the city, the way we looked at this situation, being presented with this petition, we certainly couldn't say that the Lawrence County Airport had no value. Because it does. And Lawrence County is a landowner. So they were a proper petitioner. So we valued their property, and we determined that there was sufficient value there based on the replacement value of the publicly owned airport hangar only to put us over the 3/4.
I'm unclear as to what opportunity Essling had to argue about what the value should be. Procedurally, what happened before the city council? Did they have a chance to say, wait a minute, insurable value isn't right, we want this or we want that, or we want it appraised, or what actually happened?
Well, the best I can tell you, Your Honor, I wasn't at those meetings, so I can't give you my personal knowledge of it. What happened is the petition was presented to the city. The city first did a proposed ordinance for the annexing of unplatted territory, submitted that to the county, and that was the meeting that Mr. Alka talked about, where the county signed the petition and approved the proposed ordinance for annexation. A few days later, or maybe even that day, I can't say, but it was very close to, and there was in October of 2001, the Spearfish Planning Commission held a public hearing. And the Spearfish Planning Commission, Mr. Richards appeared there, and the minutes are in the record before the city of Spearfish. And at that particular hearing, Mr. Richards had his say, and I believe he brought up 9 points of objection. And he told the Planning Commission, Mr. Essling is not in favor of this, he's going to fight it. Then, in November, on November 5th, the City Council had another public hearing on whether or not they should adopt these ordinances, and the ordinances were three. There was the annexation ordinance, which was an ordinance to approve the petition for annexation. It's not an involuntary annexation as the statutes contemplate that. Then there was the zoning of the property, and then finally there was the rural tax district annexation, ordinance. So those were all dealt with at that one time. I don't know, I do not know personally how much discussion there was in those rooms at those public hearings about value. But I do know that all of these hearings were properly noticed, that Mr. Richards was at the first hearing. According to the signature sign-in, he was not at the second hearing. I don't know why. But let's put it this way. The trial court found that it was reasonable for the city of Spearfish to use the replacement value of the public hangar, since it had no other source of information on valuation other than the insurable value of that hangar. We didn't have it appraised. We didn't believe that was our place. We didn't ask the county assessor to go appraise it because the insurable value of one building put us way over. I don't know, Your Honor, that SDCL 941 requires that the city give all landowners the opportunity to argue about value. Our job was simply to determine whether that petition contained the signatures of 2/3 of the value of the owners of the territory to be annexed, and it did. It just did, according to the way we looked at it, and we believe objectively that's the case.
Mr. Neese, did the city consider any other value other than the replacement value of those public hangars?
To my knowledge, no, Your Honor. I do wish to bring up a couple of items to the court that are disturbing to the city. The city has made a point in its brief to attempt to keep its arguments to the record before the city council on certiorari. We've been bombarded by supposed and purported facts contained in briefs to this court by the appellant, and the reply brief has just gone over the line in accusing the city of collusion and of conspiracy. And it just must be said here, we're not going to get into the merits of any of those types of things, but they are not in the record, they're not properly arguments, and they're not properly before the court. And we just want it stated publicly that there is no such thing as collusion and conspiracy here. This is a voluntary annexation petition according to statute. We understand that Mr. Essling doesn't agree, but that doesn't produce a situation where we can be publicly accused of things that are not in any record here. They're not in any record here. They're not even in the application of the applicants, which isn't even a part of the record. So we would just note, for purposes of responding to the reply brief, we're objecting to that, and that's not part of the record. Finally, Your Honors, we just would note, on the question of the territorial integrity of the city of Spearfish, if this court upholds the annexation, as the trial court did, that the city has the exclusive right to zone its property within its jurisdiction. The initiated ordinance is a Lawrence County zoning ordinance. It does not apply to property within the corporate boundaries of the city of Spearfish. And the trial court found that it was premature in any event because Mr. Essling's property was still zoned agricultural. But we would argue to the court that for purposes of territorial integrity, the city has the right to zone the property within its boundaries.
How can you argue that this is a natural and reasonable annexation when the city has not included the area that shows up on Exhibit A, which is apparently the airport addition or whatever I think it's called?
I'm out of time. May I respond?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Your Honor, I do not know why the individuals who live in those houses did not sign the annexation petition. I don't know if they were not asked to. The city didn't stop them from signing it. The city didn't ask them to sign it. On a voluntary annexation petition, the boundaries are not chosen by the city. The city was presented with a written petition, and that was the boundary that we were presented with. We saw a strip that went down, as you can see on the map. But in looking at the contiguity of the entire 2,000-acre tract, which has a width of approximately one-half mile to one-and-a-half miles and a length of 3 miles, we felt that there was no argument at all that that was contiguous to the city. And it's if any of you are familiar with the Black Hills area where we're located, the corridor of growth for Spearfish is clearly down the interstate. It's clear, and that's I was found by both the Planning Commission.
Well, what surprises me then is why, as it shows on the map, why the area where the growth has already developed is excluded.
We didn't exclude it. They didn't sign it.
I know, but it is excluded.
It was excluded by the petitioners. If I imagine, Your Honor, if any one of those individuals wished to be annexed into the city of Spearfish and present an annexation petition to the city of Spearfish, the city council will give them the same consideration.
Do you concede that the annexation to be permissible must be a natural or and a reasonable extension?
Absolutely. That's the law. I have to concede that.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Richards, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to address some of the comments in Lawrence County first in rebuttal. The context of Lawrence County actions has to be looked at and analyzed, we submit, through examination of the initiated ordinance that was passed by the Lawrence County voters in June 2001. And that ordinance is set forth in brief, and I'd just like to touch on a few points that are in that ordinance that was passed by the people. There's a whereas clause that says that Lawrence County has adopted a new comprehensive plan mandating that cities grow from the center outward. Very good planning concept. Another whereas clause that the Lawrence County Comprehensive Plan is established to protect the existing tax base in Lawrence County. And then the third whereas clause that the Comprehensive Plan has designated certain areas in Lawrence County as A1 agricultural, and that A1 agricultural zone by the zoning ordinance says that these zones should be maintained to allow suitable areas of Lawrence County to be retained in agricultural uses to prevent scattered non-farm development and to secure economy and the governmental expenditures for public services, utilities, schools, and so forth. Now, that was passed and adopted in June 2001. In August or early September 2001, Lawrence County Commission signed off on this proposal for the voluntary annexation, which nobody disputes is to get Exit 17, Daryl Propp's property, into the city of Spearfish so they can do the 1,000-acre development. Now, I don't think anyone believes that the Lawrence County Commission suddenly forgot in that two-month period what the people of Lawrence County said in this initiated ordinance. Now, you can call it a scheme, or you can call it absent-mindedness, or whatever, but they violated their own ordinance in what they did in approving this voluntary annexation. The in the same context, the city of Spearfish is not the innocent lamb that it likes to portray it is here today. There was no discussion in the newspapers or anywhere else about annexation until this voluntary petition was signed and presented in one day both to the Lawrence County Commission and to the City Council. That all happened just like that, no discussion, nothing in the papers, and then it went off there. Now, I submit to the court, the City of Spearfish had pre-knowledge of all this, was involved in all this. And it's not just sitting back here saying, well, this is just how it happened. And they would have had authority, if they wanted to, when this petition was brought in, if they were as innocent as they suggest, to say, you know, that airport addition, now that should be a part of this voluntary annexation petition. You take that petition back out, get those people involved, and bring it back in. That makes sense to us. Then we can perhaps adopt the whole annexation area. But they didn't do that because they were part and parcel of this plan, this scheme, as I say in my brief, and I stand by that, to annex Exit 17 for the singular purpose of allowing Daryl Propp to develop, and contrary to the initiated ordinance and contrary to good planning and zoning law. Finally, I would just point the court to a case we have found. There are very few cases that really fit this fact situation, but the case of Skaneateles, Village of Skaneateles versus the Town of Skaneateles in New York, 1985, cited in our reply brief, page 13. This case where the village annexed several acres of land that were previously located in the adjoining town. The court there determined that the sole reason the village and the intervening property owner sought annexation was to avoid the restrictive effect of the town's zoning ordinance on that intervening property. And the court did not allow it. It stated, and I quote, "We have found no precedent approving the use of annexation as a device by which the owners of land in one municipality may escape the effect of that municipality's local legislation by having the land transferred to an adjoining municipality." Exactly what happened here. And we would ask the court to find that this annexation effort by the City of Spearfish to be void and of no force and effect. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We will be in recess for 10 minutes.